This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Oh, 5 in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, and we're starting things off today with Popit Popit Business. Today, specifically looking at the fine balance between running a sports team as, you know, a successful business, as well as achieving on-field wins. Now, this is coming after Manchester United have announced record financial revenues of £627.1 million in the last financial year.
Yeah, so obviously they're doing well financially. I mean, they do have the largest stadium in the Premier League, and apparently it brings in around £112 million every match day. And they also have the most expensive sponsorship deal in the Premier League, which is at about £75 million until the year 2025. And when you add to other things like the broadcast revenue and the strength of their global brand in general, then yeah, Man United is a really solid business.
And I suppose one would think that financial success is going to translate to being successful on the pitch, but that isn't always the case. I mean, they've won twice this season in the EPL. They're currently in eighth place. They're not in the Champions League. And also, as we know, after Sir Alex Ferguson retired 6 years ago, the club is still struggling to find their footing. So, like we said earlier, we usually, we want to hear from you as well. And we tend to send our interns out, our interns Shamin and Melina, to ask the public about their views on this whole commercial sporting success debate. And here is what they've come back with.
Definitely their on-the-field success. I don't really care how much money people make, as long as I guess they're good at what they do and people enjoy what they're doing when they're watching them.
I think it's much more onto the on-the-field success, because people always would love to see the things that they can achieve, the things that they achieve, the things that they can win cups. Like me, myself, they wouldn't want to know about are they doing well in their financial stuff, because we just want to see if they are winning or they are losing. That's it.
It's a combination of both. When you have a financial team, then you will spend money to get the good players. And then the other thing is kind when you're field, it's work on the interaction with the teams. Maybe become a one team, right? So it's a combination of both. Where to become a successful, these two must be a main point.
I would say on the field success, because that's staying true to the sport. You know, if you're just in it for the money, then it defeats the purpose of you being competitive in many ways. So, yeah.
On the field success, of course. But then again, without the money, how do you ensure success in this day and age? You look at the amount of money that's coming to just football, not just locally, but abroad. I mean, without money, how do you buy the best players? How do you compete then for championships? And then, you know, so it all comes down to that. But if you ask me personally as a sports fan, of course, I want to see my team, you know, flourish on the field, but money is definitely just as important.
So those are some thoughts from sporting fans, and I suppose we should just lay out where we stand on this, especially in terms of team allegiances, because I gotta say, Ayman is in here rocking a hoodie.
Yep, every day I wear this bright red Liverpool hoodie to tell people that I'm a Liverpool supporter.
And you have a little bit of, I think if Liverpool fans will know that there is a huge journey that the club has gone through, I think not just on the pitch, but also you've had your own financial stresses.
Yeah, exactly. Those days under Hicks and Gillette were really dark days, and Liverpool was so close to administration, which was like unthinkable. Liverpool is this legendary club. They were European giants in the 70s and 80s. And to think that they were almost sent into administration was just a nightmare. And it just shows that how important financial success is to the well-being of a club. I mean, people would naturally say that sporting success is important, but at the end of the day, if you don't have money, then you don't have a club.
So Liverpool going into administration would have been a nightmare for some, and for others, not so bad, because I am a lapsed Manchester United fan. And I'm not lapsed because of the
depending when they're winning or not, is it?
No. And it's got nothing to do even with the post-Ferguson years. I think it just has to do with I realised that I wanted to do other things on my weekend nights. And I just didn't have the time to dedicate anymore to waking up at 4 a.m. for Champions League quarters, which doesn't matter anymore since they're not in it. But so that's where I stand. And I suppose as someone who I might not be watching as regularly as I used to, but all the old feelings of love for Manchester United are still there. It's a bit tough right now to look at the results, to see when I hear people talking about the games, when I hear people talking about the tactics and how well things are going. It's a little bit difficult to look at the financial success and be like, yes, this is what I wanted. I agree with you. I think in the modern day and age, the whole premise of having richness in a football club or any other sporting team for that matter, it's important. You want to know that your club is going to be around for the long haul. You want to know that they're not suddenly going to disappear or suddenly need to court new owners in a desperate attempt to not be bankrupt. All those things are a part of it. You want to know they can afford players. But at the same time, when you are only winning off the pitch in terms of money, doesn't exactly make you feel good.
I mean, I think the most important thing is the how well the club is being run, how it's being managed, and that they have great owners. I mean, Manchester United recorded high revenues, but if I'm not mistaken, they also owe tons of money to all kinds of financial institutions. So I would guess that a lot of that money is going to be spent to service their loans, and maybe it won't translate as much into like investment into the team and facilities and all those other things.
So we're talking today on Popit Business and a little bit of sports, or mostly sports, about this idea of success in a modern sport setting. So when you look at modern sports teams, modern football clubs, as a fan, does it matter to you if they're doing well financially, or is it only the performance on the pitch or on the court or on wherever that counts? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking with a familiar voice, Bob Holmes, who is, of course, often on our football shows, very, very frequently. And we'll be getting Bob's perspective after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
5:14 in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, and today we're talking on Popit Business about Manchester United and their record financial revenues of £627.1 million. And comparing that to their perhaps less than ideal on-pitch performance, and just asking you, I suppose, as a sports fan, whether you're a fan of Manchester United or, you know, your allegiances lie elsewhere, what matters to you? Is it all on the pitch, all in terms of sport, or does it also count, you know, in the bank, in terms of how much money people are how much money these clubs are making? And you can tell us, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're crossing over now to Bob Holmes, sports pundit, author of Shanks, Yanks and Jurgen, which is, of course, a book about legendary manager Bill Shankly and Liverpool things, owners and such. Bob, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Lynn.
So first things first, let's talk about this issue of revenue, right? In what ways do high revenue tend to translate into on-the-pitch success?
Well, they should do, of course, but I can't imagine many Manchester United supporters will be celebrating the fact that they've just made a record profit when they're eighth in the table and playing in the Europa League. I mean, priority for fans is, of course, what's happening on the field. And you would think that the two would go together, success on the pitch and off it. But they don't necessarily do, as we have seen. And the Manchester United experience is a classic of its kind. And when you think back, not too long ago, when the Glazers took over in the first few years, they actually borrowed over £1 billion, paid over £1 billion in interest on their loans. And this was in the 90s under Alex Ferguson. Now, can you imagine when prices were a little bit less for players then, what £1 billion could have bought? They could have bought Messi. They could have bought a World 11. And this was just going into servicing their loans. And this is why the fans turned on them and tried to take over the club themselves, but they couldn't raise enough money. They had a concerted effort with the green and gold movement about 10 years ago. But they raised about £1 billion, but the Glazers wanted over £2 billion even back then. So it was never going to succeed.
So the kind of owner that a club has would have a great influence on how they're performing. How has owner culture changed football, both as a business and as a game?
Well, it's changed quite a bit. I think the real watershed moment was when Roman Abramovich came in to Chelsea in 2003. Mm-hmm. And for a while after that, every club was dreaming, every fan was dreaming of a sugar daddy that was going to magically land on the pitch and transform the fortunes of the club. And he did so at Chelsea, to be fair. I mean, he was buying players right, left and center, and they had a golden era. They won the league for the first time for 50 years, and they eventually won the Champions League, and they're still a pretty good team to this day. But that kind of money from a guy like that, an individual, it's not really been replicated. And what we've seen are nation states buying into clubs, like at Manchester City with the Abu Dhabis. I mean, it's what's called sports washing. Certain countries haven't got a pristine human rights record and all that. And they see that if they can buy a famous football club, a famous brand that's known all over the world, they get some spin-off benefit from that, and it enhances their image, or they think it does. I think the jury is out on that, actually. But yes, the whole ownership thing has changed, and the local businessman who used to own a club, I mean, Manchester United were once owned by a butcher. In fact, every United fan knows Martin Edwards. Well, his father was a local butcher, and he made enough money to actually buy the club. And but now it's the Glazers, the absentee landlords from Florida, who don't even turn up for the Munich anniversary anymore. That's how little interest they have in the club. They'll be very pleased today to know they've made a record profit, but they probably won't even look at the league table to see how low they are. The Glazers are an exception. I mean, the Liverpool owners, the current owners, have been pretty good, and they've more than made up for Hicks and Gillette, who you were talking about earlier. Yeah. Hicks and Gillette took the club to the brink of bankruptcy, as you mentioned, and were possibly even worse than the Glazers. But the current mob, FSG, they owned a sports franchise in America before they came over, so they knew a little bit about what ownership was about, and they're very clever people, and they've listened to the fans, and they even took out local journalists to pick their brains, and they've even when they try to put up prices, the fans rebelled, and they apologized and reduce the prices. Now, you can't imagine the Glazers doing that, for example. So Liverpool have been fortunate. They had a narrow squeak, but the current guys have more than made up, and they've provided Jurgen Klopp with big money to buy players, and they seem to be running the show on an even keel.
On the other hand, there are also some clubs that are fan-owned. What's the value of that? Like, how sustainable are fan-owned clubs in this sort of ownership climate that we see right now?
Well, in the lower leagues, they are sustainable, just about. But I don't think you're going to see a fan-owned club win the Champions League. I mean, look at Dortmund in Germany, for example. I mean, they have this. Most German clubs are owned by fans, or at least 50% owned by fans. And they have to sell their best player to Bayern Munich every season to make ends meet. And eventually, that's what drove Jurgen Klopp into the hands of Liverpool, because he just got tired of doing that. They managed to win the league a couple of times, and they got to the final of the Champions League. But unfortunately, they got beaten by Bayern Munich, who had bought their best player for the last for the previous three seasons. And, you know, this is a rather unfair world we're operating in here. It's a nice idea, fan ownership. But against nation states and multi-billionaires, they haven't really got much of a chance.
So with, I suppose, modern football being what it is, and in some ways modern sport, modern team sports being what it is, how then can clubs balance this idea of revenue, of needing to generate revenue and considering that a win, with actually winning on the pitch, especially when, like you said, in some cases, the priorities of owners and fans might actually be at odds?
Yeah, well, really, with this amount of money sloshing around in the game, I mean, huge fortunes, they should be able to do it. They've got to be pretty bad or make some huge mistakes or greed, in the case of Hicks and Gillette, not to do it. If you get a competent manager, you're eventually going to buy enough players to do reasonably well. And even if you're not winning the Champions League or winning the Premier League, you can still make a healthy profit. Most Premier League clubs do make a profit now. I mean, they get 100 million even if they come bottom of the league. That's from broadcasting alone. So you've got to mess up pretty badly not to make a profit at that level.
Can you give us some examples of past instances where a club did well financially but continued to struggle on the pitch? I'm wondering how that worked out for them.
Off the top of my head, well, yes, there have been one or two where they just haven't got the right formula. They've perhaps changed the manager too hastily. I can think of my own club, Nottingham Forest, who some of the older listeners will remember as European champions 30 or 40 years ago. They get big crowds, and they've never been near to bankruptcy, but they haven't been in the top flight for 20 years. Leeds United, they get the revenue in. They get 30,000 even when they're in the third tier. But, of course, they were mismanaged very badly, so that contributed to their demise. And then you get, well, Arsenal, perhaps, since the Invincibles, they haven't won anything to speak of. Well, they won the FA Cup two or three times under Arsene Wenger in this millennium. But they were very, very strong financially, but they wouldn't buy players. That's probably the best example, although they have dipped into their pockets and spent a bit in the recent transfer window. But, yeah, since the Invincible team of 2002, I think it was, Arsenal fans will correct me if not, they've been rather stingy. Stan Kroenke, particularly, the American billionaire owner, very, very stingy about buying players. And yet the club has made a profit, massive profit, but hardly any trophies to show for it.
And Bob, finally, you know, when you look at, say, the 5 to 10 richest clubs in the world, you may see some changes in position, but the names remain somewhat the same. I mean, you're seeing your usual Barcelonas, your Real Madrids, your Manchester United and City. So with that said, with the branding that these teams have built, with all the might and momentum of money going behind that, are there clubs that are just too big to fail?
Yeah, I think you can say that. I mean, though, well, United haven't won anything to speak of since Alex Ferguson left in 2013. Okay, that's only 6 years. But they have such a global support. I mean, you know, they number it in hundreds of millions. Liverpool, too. I mean, Liverpool haven't won the league for 30 years, although they have won the Champions League in that period a few times. But the support stays there because they were so great in the past. And football fans can be pretty loyal. And they might go a little dormant, a little quiet for a while. But when you're a big club like Liverpool or Manchester United, I think success is pretty inevitable. You might have a bad patch like United are having currently, but you can't see them floundering like this for much longer. I think the sheer power in the transfer market and the number of supporters that they have will mean that they will eventually turn it around.
Bob, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
We've been speaking with Bob Holmes, sports pundit and author of Shanks, Yanks and Jurgen, among a number of other books that Bob's written as well about football. And we're asking you for your thoughts as a fan of specific football teams or clubs or just anything at all. I mean, do you find that financial success is an okay substitute for not doing so well actually on the pitch, for not winning those trophies? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have this message here from Daniel.
In general, I think both money and performance is important. For instance, I would think that if our country is able to make the football as a business like EPL, which means it can contribute to the growth of the country, then it's the right action to develop Malaysian football as a whole.
Yeah, so I think, especially with the, as Bob pointed out, the amount of money being pumped into the modern game, it's pretty difficult to ignore the value of money. I mean, we can all just be really spiritual about it and say that, like, no, it's about the love of the game. It's about what's in my heart. But I think Daniel has it in that you can't ignore money.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of it as well is fan-driven. So if a club has a popular following, there are many opportunities for that local Malaysian club to generate revenue from merchandise and ticket sales and whatnot. And this sort of like fan following will help to grow the sport in the country.
So yeah, tell us, is financial success or success on the pitch more important? You know, can one help deal with the absence of the other? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.